But I'm going to, we want to open our books in 1 Samuel 15. Okay, we're going to go in two different places, but I'm just going to go here first. If you're familiar with this passage, you'll know where I'm going. If you're not, just hear the word of God, because God has an amazing message for you today. And I think it's an on-time word, it's a word for today, for us today. So, and if I get a little louder, sorry, and if I start shouting, it will happen at some point. I'll let you know. I'm making you aware of that. So, 1 Samuel, verse 22. We're going to stop at 22nd and 23rd. We're going to stop there. And the word of God says, "So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as it is obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. For rebellion it is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness it is as an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you being a king.'" I'll explain what that says if you're not familiar with the passage. But if we want to go to verse 16. 1 through 4. And we're going to read that, and we're going to be talking about the story of David a little bit in the end of Samuel. But I want to read this so that then you know where to reference to as I'm talking. So now, the verse 1 says this: "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reign over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go.'" Tell your neighbor this: fill your horn with oil and go. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Come on. It says, "I'm sending you to Jesse, the brother of mine, for I have provided myself a king among his son." And Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord says, "Take your heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you should do. Should you anoint for me the one I name to you?" So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled as they saw him coming, and says, "Do you come in peace?" Amen. Let's pray for the word. Father, we're so grateful today, Lord God, for what you're doing and for what you're going to be doing, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that this word does not turn around empty. Father God, I pray right now that you will take me out of the way, Lord God, and you will be blessing, and then you will be a blessing to this body, to the word of God that's about to come out of my mouth, Father God. You will be the one speaking, not me. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but the story that we're reading in here is the story of Saul's rejection and David's anointing. See, God, and I read that part, but we're going to go through it because it's too long to be reading. But Samuel had a word from the Lord and said, "I need you to go over to Saul and tell him that this is what I need him to do. I need you to go to the Amalekites. I need you to kill every single living thing that you see, no matter what it is, animals, human, whatever you see, get rid of it. And everything that they have, burn it. Get rid of it." God had us a purpose for what he tells you to do. And if you understand this, the Bible is always connected to another story. And there's a reason why he told kill all the Amalekites. They were bad people for once, but there was another story that is connected to this, to what Saul did. If you know the story of Esther, you would know what I'm talking about. But the Amalekites, he went and left the king alive, and he says, I took all the good animals, all the good cows and all the good animals, so that we can turn them into sacrifice to the God, to our God. So he goes in, but he spared the life of the king, and he spared the life of that animal. First of all, he didn't do what God asked him to do. He said, but the soldiers, my people were in my corner. Why were we wasting this? Why do we want to waste that pure cow that's so beautiful? We can use that to sacrifice to God. What? First of all, no matter what they said, God said, get rid of everything. Who are you to tell me what to do? God told me to get rid of everything. God says, get rid of everything. Why am I going to go against what God says, what makes me feel good? A lot of us work, you know, we work. This is the word that says right there that I read. Obedience is better than sacrifice. A lot of us think that by being a good person, by doing good deeds, we will make it to heaven. I've done my whole life. Oh yeah, I helped the homeless. I'll put money up for here and there for this person, for that person. When I see a homeless in the street, I'll give him a dollar or two. Yeah, I spent my whole life. I'm a good person. I spent my whole life doing all this stuff. I'll go to heaven. Not what the word says. According to the word, you have to have a relationship with God. You have to know Jesus in a particular way in order to inherit the kingdom of God, because the works is not what is going to take you to heaven. The good deeds are not what's going to take you to heaven. Being good does not mean that you are safe. Saul thought, you know what? It sounds good. We're going to make sacrifices to God. That sounds good. God got to forgive me for that one. It sounds really good. I'm doing something for the kingdom of God. Yeah. You know? And Samuel comes. Guess what? I'm coming back and I says, as soon as Samuel comes to hunt him down, and he goes back, he hears Samuel, and he says, God bless you, brother. Come in. I've done what God has asked me to do. He goes, well, what is those noises that I hear? Why do I hear sheep? Why do I hear cows? He said, oh, no, they're for sacrifice. I took the best of the best, the bad ones, I got rid of them, I burned them, I killed them, but I took the best of the best to use it for sacrifice. Really? Is that what God asked you to do? Is that what he asked you to do? Did he ask you to go make sacrifice to God with what was left over from there? No. He asked you to say, to get rid of everything. Everything that you've been through, everything that your past has come to you, God asking you to get rid of everything. Sometimes we lay it down in the altar, but we come back around and we pick up our past and we walk right back to it. It is finished. Whenever you brought that to the altar, it is finished. You leave it there. You don't turn around and grab it. It's finished. Saul tried to tell Samuel, but forgive me. I did the right thing. And he still could not get. And that's what he tells him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't care how many animals you sacrifice. I don't care how many things you have sacrificed. If you don't follow obedience, if you don't follow what the Lord tells you, it doesn't matter. Whenever God told you to leave your past in the altar, whenever we come to Christ, whenever we raise our hand and we say, God, I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to be done with it. I just want to be done with this life that I'm going through. I want to just serve you. Forgive me for all my sin. It is finished. There's nothing else that you need to go back to. Your past cannot define you anymore when you do that. When you say, God, I'm giving you everything that I have done until this day, your past cannot define you anymore. Your past cannot make you feel bad anymore because it is finished. It is done there and then. Don't pick it up. Don't go back and pick it up and still think about what you used to be, because the enemy is going to come after you and he's going to ask you to remember your past. You mean that I could speak the things as if they not are? Maybe when I come to Christ, I'm a mess. My life is ruined. Maybe my wife doesn't want to be with me anymore. I'm a drunkard, so I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a drug addict. Whatever it is that you're spending on, when you brought it to the altar, it is finished. When you brought it here, when you brought it in your house, wherever you were, when you said, God, I want to ask for forgiveness, it is finished. We can't go back to that. Oh, but you don't know who I used to be, Pastor. You don't know what I used to do when I was younger. You don't know what I've been through. I said, well, I don't need to, because the Lord says that when you brought it in here, it is done. Your past cannot define you. I don't care who brings it up. Your past does not define you. Your past cannot affect your future. Samuel tells him, this is what he says to him, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected you. What's rejected cannot move forward. What God has rejected has no effect on your future. If God rejected it, doesn't matter. He will not. That will not affect your future. The devil is a liar. He wants you to think that whatever you've done here is going to affect your future. But the reality is that it's not. God will place you in places that you don't even have the education to do, if you allow him. The Bible says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto you. It does not say, seek this other things first, and everything, and the kingdom of God will be added unto you. It doesn't say that. It says that your past cannot define you. It says that when that rejection of your past happened, it stays there. It is finished. It doesn't walk with you. It doesn't affect your future. Even if your past still sitting on the throne, you will not have to worry about what you've done in the past. We see that Samuel mourned the loss of Saul for a long time. On chapter 16, we still see in God addressed him and says, what are you doing? Why are you still mourning Saul? He didn't do what I asked him to do, so he's out. I kick him out. I rejected him. He has no clue that I rejected him, because he still don't want to get that I rejected him. But I kicked him out. I need you to go and anoint a new king. I need you to go and anoint a new future. I need you to go and take this to a whole new level. And Samuel said, what, are you crazy? How am I supposed to do that? Saul's still sitting on that throne. If he knows that I'm coming, he's going to kill me. He says, hold on 1 second, which is my second point. Hold on 1 second. Who told you that you had to tell him everything that I told you? Who told you that you had to tell everybody all the dreams that God has given you? Who told you that you had to share that? What I share with you is between you and me. Nobody needs to know what God shared with you. Nobody needs to know what has given you. What God gave you is for you and him. And in time, he'll tell you who to share with. And he will open the doors for you. He tells Saul right there. He tells Saul, what you're doing is witchcraft. And let me tell you something. Stop the witchcraft. Stop opening doors for yourself. Do not open doors for yourself. Do not get the doors open that God has for you, because you don't understand what God has placed in you. Maybe you're going through some issues right now. Maybe you're going through some sacrifices right now. Maybe you're going through some things that God asked you to do, and you don't understand where he's taking you, because you have no clue what God's plans are yet, because he won't give it to you full 100%. And say, oh, this is what I want you to do. No. And you're saying, God, why am I going through this? And you don't see results. And you're not seeing that nothing is moving forward. But as a matter of fact, the Bible says that God is always working behind the scenes. And there's a song that says that even when you don't see it, he's working. Maybe we're not seeing God working through the situation that we're going through. But let me tell you something. When we go through a problem, when we go through a situation, there is a bridge that happens between your problem and your destiny. God's destiny. It's not your destiny. And if you go through something in your life, it's because he wants to launch you. I'm gonna skip like 10 chapters in a minute right now, but somebody needs to hear this. David confronted Goliath. And before David confronted Goliath, nobody knew who David was. Nobody had a clue who this young man was that was coming. And he got to where the army were, and the Philistine were on the other side. And there comes Goliath yelling out and saying, oh, you guys, no one can take me. I'm going to beat you all. I'm going to take all of you. And every single one of those Israelites were so scared. David walked in there with confidence. Because let me tell you what God says about David. A man after my own heart. I have found a man. Which is what he told Samuel. I have found a man after my own heart. And we'll talk about that. Because David wasn't the greatest saint in the world. But it was a man after God's heart. While he was hanging out with his sheep as a pastor, he spent a lot of time with God. He got himself devoted with God. He worshiped God. He said that I found a man that writes me poetry. I have found a man that sings to me, that writes songs to me. I have found a man after my own heart. I have found someone that has fallen in love with me. And that's going to take me to where I need to be. He will be the one to fulfill my destiny. Does anybody know who David was? The great, 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 great grandparent of who? Jesus. God had to place David on that king position in order for Jesus to say, I'm the son of a king. I'm the son of David. God's plan was bigger than what David ever thought of. David was not walking around as he was a shepherd, that nobody knew who he was, saying, you know what, I'm the next king. You know what, I'm better than anybody else. You know what, I'm walking around here. You don't respect me. You know, you better get out of the way because I'm the king. He wasn't walking around doing that. He had no clue where he was going to be. He was happy doing what he was doing. He was happy being the shepherd because God had given him an opportunity to connect with him. And while he was there, the time that he spent under the tree or under wherever he was, he spent it with God. That's when he went to confront Goliath. He did not see a giant. He saw somebody that wasn't protected by God. He wasn't looking at a 9 feet something tall man. He was looking at somebody that was not protected by God. Abraham said through the covenant, there was protection. So uncircumcised means unprotected. Circumcision means protected by God. Why do you think it was so important for every male to be circumcised in the Jewish community? Because we are the people of God. We are protected by God. Circumcision means a covenant of protection. Uncircumcised, you're not protected by God. David knew that. David got to know that when he confronted that giant, he just looked at that man and he said, "You guys, what are you scared of? Why are you running? Don't you guys know who you serve? Do you guys forgot? Do you know the God that you serve? Do you understand who he is? This is nothing for him. This is nothing." You know, David was trying, they tried to dress them up. And they tried to put an arm on him. And David was like, it wasn't that he was little. It wasn't that he was skinny. No, it was just that wasn't his. Try to walk on your clothes that don't belong to you. Does it feel comfortable? You ever wear somebody's clothes that 3 times to your size? Are they comfortable? They don't belong to you. They're not your size. They're not made for you. David said, just leave me with my rocks. There's a song that said that David went into a sword fight with rocks. Isn't that crazy? This man had this sword, has this shield, and he's ready to fight David. He's a tall man. He's like, ah, when he saw David coming through, he goes, what the world did you send me? You sent me to fight with a dog? Like, what is wrong with you? Why are you sending me that? Just think about it. He was dressed in regular clothes. He had 5 little stones in a little bag. And he comes against this man that is an Armon, has a shield, has a sword, and he's ready to fight. And David's coming just like nothing. Like, yep, yeah, I got you. You think that you're coming against me with that sword and with that shield. But guess what? I'm coming against you in the name of Jesus. In the name of God, which is the God of Israel. I understood what God was going to do. Every giant has to go down when we say we're coming in the name of God. We're coming in the name of Jesus. Every mountain has to move. Every giant has to go down. And it wasn't the stone that he had in his hand. It was his obedience that got him through. And when David knocked that man down, guess what? Everybody in the kingdom stopped talking about the Goliath guy. Because everybody before Goliath, before David got there, everybody was talking about Goliath. He was the talk of the town. Yeah, man, this old giant is scaring us. We can't even do anything about it. And this and this and that. And here comes David. Who is this guy? What is he doing? He knocks them down. And now, David becomes the talk of the town. And now everybody's like, oh my God, what? A 17-year-old boy defeated that giant? What? 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 What's going on? And then, and if you look at forward, whenever David become the captain of Saul's army, what was the song that people will sing as David was coming from a war? Saul defeated the 1,000, but David defeated the 10,000. Every David needs a giant. Like Goliath. Every David needed Goliath in order to be bridged to the destiny that God has for you. Do not worry about the situation that you're going in your life. Do not worry about the problems that you're suffering, because everything that you're going through, it aligns with what God is doing in your life to launch you to the next step that's going to launch you to your destiny. The giants that come in front of you are only for you to be launched to your destiny. The Goliaths that come in your way are going to launch you to what God has for you. And today, let me tell you, I don't know who I'm talking to here right now, but if you're struggling with something, if the doctor had told you that you have no, that you're done, that you have nothing else that you can do, that he has nothing else that he can do for you, that you have this disease, that you had this and you're going to die, or you're going to disappear, or of your finances are done, and your finances, you don't know where the next finance is coming through, let me tell you right here, God has a destiny for you. It is finished now. It is done now. No matter what you're going through, it's going to launch you to the next day of your life, because God says it is finished. Whenever you brought that here, it is done. And I'm here to tell you that your next step launches you to your future. I'm here to tell you that God has an amazing thing in your life, and he does not give you the entire picture, because if he does, it will be boring. We grow in the midst of our issues and our problems. You know, and Samuel goes and tell God, and it says, so what do you mean, God? You mean that I had to go anoint my future when my past is sitting on the throne? What do you mean? I had to go anoint a new king when the old one's still sitting there? I rejected him. He's done. Go anoint. Take your horn and go anoint your new king. We're done. He is done. David is my new king. He didn't tell him that, but I'm just telling that right now. Go to Jesse's house. I have a new king that I've chosen. Go back. He said, you don't have to tell everybody. Guess what? When you share your dreams, and I'm going to go back to this because somebody needs to hear. When you share what God talks to you, you can share with the wrong person. And that person, that one person, can damage what the Lord has for you. You know what he says? Samuel says, oh, you crazy? If I go now and Samuel find out of what I'm doing, he's going to kill me. How many people have those souls in your life? Because you like to share, because you like to open your mouth a little too much to share what God has given you, you'll find a soul that will kill your dream. You'll find somebody that will kill what God has for you. Because you didn't keep your mind set. You share it too much. See, the Bible says you only share the details that you need to share. And he'll let you know. Well, this is what Samuel says, and this is your prayer. This is, should be your prayer. This is what Samuel said. Hey, God, show me. Tell me what I need to say. Rely on, you're going to have to rely on discernment. You can't just go around sharing stuff with people. You have to rely on the discernment of God. God, you have to ask for the discernment, and you have to say, God, give me the discernment because I want to do what you asked me to do. I want to be obedient to what you're asking me to do, but I don't want anybody to kill the dreams that you give me. I don't want any souls in the way. I want you to show me what I have to say. You got to call it out because obedience is what God asks you to do. We're going to go here. So Samuel went, and here goes Samuel. Samuel just shows, you know, that Saul was Samuel's chosen, right? And when he went to choose a new king, he entered, you know, Jesse brought him all the sons. We're talking about people that they were in the army. We're talking about people that they were already strong men, handsome men. And so Samuel is looking at all the attributes of the body, and he's not even engaging to what God wanted to engage with. And he goes, he's looking at him. You know what, man? He looks good, man. I think he can. Yeah, he's already, he's in the army. He's already knows he's been trained to be an army man. I think he'll do just fine. And God was like, What you see is not what I see. That's not it. Next one came. Same thing. That's not it. All of the ones came in, and God said, none of them are that. I don't want any of them. And Samuel goes, do you have any son, any other sons? Because at this point, he's thinking, okay, I got all the sons in front of me, and you're telling me that that's not it, but you told me to come here because here's where the next king was. You didn't bring anything else. He said, well, you know what? Jesse goes, well, I have the youngest one. He's out tending the sheets, but he's not important. So that's why I didn't bring him, because he's not important. And Samuel goes, well, we will not sit until he comes in. So you better go get him. You better get that boy here. See, sometimes when we look at things, we don't look at things in the right way. You know, the process that we go through in our life is what launches us to the next step. It's what launches us to what God wants for us. You know, when you were, and today is a little different, but when most of us were in school, we did not pass the next grade unless we proved that we knew what it was taught in that grade, right? If you got an F in school, will they pass you to the next grade? So if you got an F in the season that you're in, do you think that God will launch you to the next season? I don't care if you've been there for 10 years. If you didn't learn what he wants you to learn, guess what? You're going in there for another year. Why'd you say that? Well, God, no, he's not going to. This ain't no kids left behind thing. This ain't, it doesn't work that way. Because when we do this, and when we get to 12th grade, if God will allow us to do that, when we get to 12th grade, we have no clue how to read. We have no clue how to write. We have no clue how to put 2, 10, how much is 5 by 5? This is what our society is doing to our children. Oh, no kids left behind. Let's move into the next one. We got high schoolers that don't know how to read. We got high schoolers that don't know how to write. Oh, but we don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. We don't want parents coming at us. Stop. If you want to learn and move to your next season, guess what you got to do? You got to learn. You got to study. You got to say, okay, God, what did I fell on that I don't want to do it again so that I can move to the next season? Because I don't want to get stuck here for another 10 years. You know, it's like I tell the girls, I used to work for New Life. And one of the samples, and the reason why I do it is because I know who they are and I know where they're coming from. And I said, one of the samples I always give them, what happens if I gave you $10 million to each one of you guys right now? Oh, you have no clue the answers that I got. Oh, man, they're gone in 3 days. They're gone in a week. They're gone in this. And then, I'm honest. They go, I'm honest. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get all high. And I'm going to take and drink this or get me high or get me this or get me that. It's going to be gone. What happens if the Lord blesses you with your future right now? What happened if the Lord hand you your destiny right now? Not just finances. What happened if he hand you your destiny? Are you able to fulfill your destiny right now? See, David, Samuel couldn't understand one thing. Why are you getting another king when the king that you rejected is still sitting on that throne? God, what are you doing that for? He said, there's a word for you here. You have to be able to function in two dimensions. Even though what your future is hasn't happened, you have to learn to walk in it now. Even though your healing is not here yet, you have to learn how to walk on your healing from now. Even though your destiny is not here, yeah, you have to learn how to walk into your destiny. He says, so you mean I can speak things as so they are? Yes. Do you mean that I can still call out my future and walk on my future, my destiny, even though my past is still sitting in there? Yes. Even though I can walk into my healing, even though my leg are still missing, like, oh, even though I can't even walk, yes. Because that's what the Bible says. Your destiny. You have to learn how to walk on your destiny from now. Starting today, you have to learn how to walk on your destiny, which is what he did with David. He said, David is the anointing of God. David is the one that I want for the next king. And I know that that's the man after my own heart will fulfill what I have for him. When David walked into the king as to become the king, he had no clue what he was doing. He had no clue what God will set and put him in there for. He didn't know that he was fulfilling a prophecy for a man that he was never going to meet. He had no clue. No clue. And I'm sure you have no clue what God has for you. We don't. I mean, but God says we got to walk into our destiny. We got to start learning to walk to our destiny. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but if you're struggling right now, start declaring and start saying, God, I'm healed right now. God, that business that you have for me, it's already done. That provision that you have for me, it's already done. What you got for my life, it's already happening. Thank you for providing. Thank you for my healing. Thank you because my legs are already healed. Thank you because my cancer is already gone. Thank you because my heart is healed. And because you want me to walk on my destiny, I'm proclaiming right now that my healing is here, even though I don't feel it. That my destiny is here, even though I'm not walking in it. David shows something he had no clue what he was walking into. But I'm telling you right now, if you know God, if you get to know God, if you get to seeking wholeheartedly, he will prevail. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If it doesn't make sense what God asks you to do, do it. Go do it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make sense. Oh, I'm sitting in here. I got $20 in my pocket and I have no more money. And all of a sudden, the offering's coming by my plate. And the Lord tell me, take the $20 that you have in your pocket and put it in that offering. God, that's all I got. Are you crazy? Why would I do that? Why would I put my last $20 in that offering? How am I supposed to buy the milk for my kids? That's all I got. I was supposed to put gas in my car after I got out of church. Walk into your destiny. Trust God. Seek the kingdom of God. Be obedient. Obedient is better than sacrifice. No clue. I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm getting ready to go to Cuba in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to be done with this. But 2 more weeks, and I'll leave to Cuba. And in the last few weeks, it's been crazy because if you all know, Cuba is actually a communist country. And because we're not recording this, I can tell you this, but we're not even supposed to mention where we're going. But, and I'm telling you, the last couple of weeks has been just a craziness, one after another. You know, we had on the ground where we're supposed to go, we had the two bands that we were going to use broke down. One, the engine blew up. So if you all know, Venezuela is actually the oil and gasoline person that the supplies the gasoline for Cuba because of the connections with being both communists, and nobody else does. Now, Venezuela, everybody knows it's in the floor right now, right? Everybody knows that they're not even moving. So they're not even supplying anything for Cuba. And just a few weeks ago, we get a phone call saying, hey, you know, we don't have enough gasoline. Nobody around here. I mean, there's lines on line in the gas station, and there's not enough gasoline. So we're not even sure if we're going to be able to take you where all of the places that we were going to go to. And the bank broke down. The bank is down. The engine blew up in it. So, and if you understand a little bit about, if you never read the history, I'm going to tell you a little bit about cars in Cuba. So all the cars that are in Cuba, the modern cars that are in there, you either have to work for the government, be a soldier or something, in order to have a nicer car. But the people all drive 1950s Chevys and Ford. So, and There's no auto part that you said, oh, if this broke down, I'm going to go down to the auto part, get the part, fix it, or whatever, right? That does not sit there. It doesn't sit. It gets so tough that in order for you to get parts, some of the guys will actually make the part in their own way. You will go look at this nice 1954 Chevy, beautiful, red color with black, white top on it, beautiful car. And you open the hood of that car and half of those parts are actually made out of wood. How in the world can you do that? This is Cuba. So about 3 days ago, we get a phone call that says, hey, good news, guys. The Lord provided an engine. Don't know where it came from, but it showed up out of nowhere. We found enough gas for you to do the traveling that you were going to do while you were here. We didn't go home. Yeah, well, we can't go now. When we heard all this stuff going on, now, and the lady that's in charge of all the connections and everything in this trip, she's supposed to exchange, this is the other one, this is how God works, some money to, because when you go to Cuba, they're so crazy that every penny that you go into a change there has to be in a $100 bill, crisp, brand new, coming out of the press. So we're about 18 of us. So this lady has $13,000 in USA money. And she goes to the bank and said, hey, you know, I need $100 bills, crisp, brand new. This amount of money, $13,000. So the bank lady looked at her like she's crazy. I said, did you know that I don't know if I'm able to do that? She said, because I have that amount, but I don't know if every dollar is brand new, crisp, brand new, coming out of the press. So she put an order on it to do it. It took a couple of days. Same day she got that phone call for the engine. She had another phone call from the bank and said, wow, you were not going to believe what just happened. Well, your money came in, and guess what? It's all brand new coming out of the press. Fresh. $100 and $13,000. Because we choose to walk in an obedience of God. We didn't say, hey, you know what? Hold on a second. We're not going to walk. We're not going to go anymore because guess what? Maybe God doesn't want us to go because we can't do what everything we said. No, it doesn't matter. If we had to change the plans, we change the plans. But we walk on the obedience of God and we started praying. We started putting everybody in prayer and be like, God, you know, right now this is the situation. We know that if we had to change the plans, we change the plan. But we know that God has a plan. So we will do what we need to do to get there, and we will have faith that God will turn this thing around. Two days ago, God did. To turn everything around. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Let's stand up. Who plays the piano or the guitar? You got the worship team come up. Let's stand up. And I have a challenge for you today. I said earlier, if I hand you your destiny today, where are you? What would you do with it? If you know the full picture of what God wants you to do, what would you do with it? What would God have you do? What would you do if I give you the challenge of the $10 million? What would you do with it? See, God has given you your destiny today. And some of you are on a passing situation of your life. Some of you are going into some troubles right now where you don't understand why you're going through this. Some of you are getting ready to open businesses. Some of you are getting ready to do things for the Lord, and you don't understand certain things that are happening in your life right now. God has entrusted you with something new, but you still don't understand, why is it that I'm going through this? It's not for us to know, but it's for us to walk into our destiny. Maybe I don't know what my destiny is. Maybe God hasn't given me a clear picture of what my destiny is, but I'm going to start acting like I'm already there. I'm not going to give up. I want to start acting like I'm already there. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'm going to ask you to come into the altar if you are going through something that you don't understand. If you don't know what your next step is, if you have any kind of healing that you need in your body that you have given up, I'm asking you to come to the altar so that we can pray together and say, God, it's finished. It is finished today. We get excited when we see new things. We get excited when God does something. But then we kind of like, our lunch is like when you go. You ever been at a retreat and you're so excited because God is talking to you and God is beating you up and you're so excited for what's coming to the future? You get to the church on Sunday after a whole week of retreat or 3 days or whatever, and you die down. What happened? Monday comes and life hits you and you die. The excitement went away and now I don't know where I'm going. Now I'm complaining because I was stuck in traffic for 2 hours this morning. What happened? What did we lose in the translation? We missed our purpose. God has a purpose in your life. He had a purpose for David. And David didn't know where he was going. But David knew that he trusts God. Joseph was put into slavery. And if you're here, I need you to come forward. If you want healing in your life, and if you think there's something wrong that you don't know how to handle it, I'm asking you to come and let's pray. There's some things that God wants to do in your life. There's some release to your life. I'm going to take 10 more minutes from you. That's all I'm asking. 10 more minutes. And if you're here and you need to come, and you're fighting in there whether you want to come, whether God is doing something in your life, I'm asking you to come forward. There's a generation in here that's getting ready to grow. There's a group of people that's getting ready to launch in a whole new way. Pastor D and Pastor Cherry are not here, but I'm telling you right now, there's a generation of people that have been praying for you for a very long time. There's a generation of people that have been praying for people like yourself to come to this place. There's people that have been praying for you before Pastor Sherry. This is not just about you, and I'm going to tell you that right now. This is not about you. This is a plan that God has that has been putting together for years. Your fellowship wasn't born yesterday. And before that, God had a plan to put this place together. And he knew that the person that brought this place together was not going to be here until the end. But he knew what he had in front. And through all the struggles, God had a plan. Man, if somebody can pass that message to the pastor. I'm telling you, Pastor D said, I want to listen to what you're talking about because I was explaining what I was going to talk about. But I'm telling you, if you can pass that message to her throughout her struggles, God had a plan. Throughout her life, God had a plan. Throughout the people that left. And I'm going to tell you that somebody needs to hear that everybody that you start with will not be the same person you end with. Every person you fight, you start fighting with, will not end with you. So when you start seeing people walking away from your life, don't cry. Don't give up. Because those people don't need it to be there. There was a reason when Naomi lost her husband and two sons. And Ruth fell in love with Naomi. But her other sister-in-law decided to stay. When she said, you know, I got nothing to give, she walked away because she wasn't in the plan. Don't worry about those people that are not in the plan. If they leave, it's because they weren't in the plan. The people that live your life, it's because they weren't in the plans. You need to understand that. God has a plan, and it's perfect. Maybe you don't understand it, but it's perfect. Everybody that left you, that hurt you, went on the plan. You need to get over it. They weren't in the plan. If my best friend walked away from me, and she stabbed me in the back, guess what? She wasn't in the plan. He wasn't in the plans. My husband left. Don't go back seeking your past. They are not in the plan. Don't go back seeking what it's not in the plans of God. And I'm talking to somebody here. I don't know who. But don't go back seeking your past. They are not in the plan. The word of God is clear. If you seek me, I'll take you to where you need to be. Man, if you're sitting over there and you still need to hear the word of God, if you still need to change, I'm going to give you one more minute. You want to come down here? We're going to pray for you. And I'm telling you, if you're here, you're a divine appointment. If you're here, you're a divine appointment of God. And not because of me, because I'm not here as a divine appointment. I'm here because God brought me to bring a word to you that he's been talking to you for a while. God brought me here to tell you something that I'm only confirming. There's a lot of you that were struggling with so many things in your past. There's a lot of you in here that struggle with things in their past. But God is telling you, don't seek back. Don't seek back. Don't. He has you. Nobody else. If you trust him, just walk to your future. Your past no longer define you. Walk to your future. One more minute and we'll just walk. Can you get this girl from me? Can you come here? Yes. Do you guys want to help me pray for people? Come here. What's your name?
Mandy.
So, what happens in your life? What's going on in your life?
Raising my kids.
Are you a single mom?
No.
My
husband's right there.
I'm going to say something to both of you. I wasn't sure, but I just can stay there. You're going to hear me. How long have you guys been here?
We've been together for...
No, but in the church. How long have you guys been in the church?
Since he started. Aunt Diaz's aunt.
Okay.
So I've been with him since...
Well, that makes a lot of
1999.
Sense. 1999. That makes a lot of sense. So here's what I'm going to tell you. So start walking on your future right now. Because there is a future for you. Pastor D has been a training ground for both of you. There's a step that you're about to take with him. How many kids do you guys have?
We lost one, and then we adopted two.
How are you doing with the loss?
Good. It's actually good. Led us to do foster care for our one, and we adopted our other one privately.
So the Lord says this. The world is yours if you want it. For both of you. The world is yours if you want it. If you want the walls down, he's going to bring you what you want. I don't know when. But if you're stepping onto what God has for you, now, today, even if you don't know, even if you're not aware, he's going to give you the world. The keys to the kingdoms are yours.